Happy New Year. We got a lot of good stuff to sing about this year. It's been great just worshiping this morning, knowing that our burdens have been lifted. The liberty is ours, the freedom that we've been given in Jesus Christ, set free from judgment, sin. And this year ought to be a happy year for all of us. You know, it's a subject that we can't speak about too much. In this first principle for the new year, choose joy. Don't wait for it. And that's the whole point, not just the first part. Choose joy. Don't wait for it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Say it together. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, people wait all week for Friday. They wait all year for summer. And some wait their whole lives for joy. Looking for joy. Folks, joy has arrived. We don't need to wait. You know, it's not like you're out there 6 o'clock in the morning waiting for a bus to come. You know, the bus has pulled up. The door is open. You need to step on. This year I pray that it'll be a ride of joy for you by faith. You know, I read somewhere about a pastor who saw a young boy in the church, about 7 years old. His name was Alex. He was out there staring up at the wall in the narthex or foyer area. And as he stood there, he was looking up there for the longest time, just gazing. Finally, the pastor went up and said, Alex, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking at this on the wall. What is this? He says, well, it's a list of names. And there were names and there were little flags near it, red and white and blue American flags next to the names. Pastor says it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service. Little Alex was shocked. He said, Pastor, which service? The 8:30 or 11 o'clock? Well, you know, life doesn't always bring us what we wish. Sometimes it brings us pain. Sometimes we're very troubled in our hearts because of what is coming our way. But under it all, there is a joy. Just like we easily access that laugh, there is a joy that's just as equally accessible to us who believe. If you will believe it, we are at peace with God. And God is at peace with us through Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And in that context of that verse in Psalm 118, verse 24, it's speaking of Christ riding into Jerusalem to be bound and put on the festal altar to be sacrificed, to bring us joy when He brought us our salvation. Say it again. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This year, every day, choose joy. Don't wait for it. Secondly, get better at giving. Get better at giving. This too can be a joyful experience for us. You know what Jesus said. You know the verse. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Get better at giving your time. Get better at giving your money. Get better at giving your resources, your energy, your idea, your anything, your everything. Get better at giving to advance the kingdom of God in your family, in your church, in your community, in the world. It's a joyful ride. You know, it will always be true that it is indeed more blessed to be giving than it is for us to be receiving. The question is, will we be entering deeper in 2016, deeper into that blessing ourselves to find out what does that verse mean? What does that scripture mean? Somehow I'm blessed. And I believe that God will show you a greater way in which His blessings will rest upon you as your heart is freed up more and more and your hands are freed up more and more to be a conduit, a vessel, to be better at giving what God brings your way. Giving teaches us so many things that indeed it is far better to be laying treasures up in heaven than it is on earth. It teaches us the art and practice of surrender. It teaches us about self-discipline. It teaches us about self-control. And it teaches us about preferring other people. And some of you are pretty good at that. But I want you to be better. God wants you to be better. It teaches us to serve God's kingdom above our own kingdoms. Giving is a good practice because I think when we get to the other side, we'll find that's just the way everybody is. They're just loving on everybody else and giving themselves to them. You know, I heard a story. It was a woman by the name of Linda Howard. She says there was a time in Ireland, a time of starvation, a time of disease during the what's been called the potato famine in 1847. And it said that these, I believe they were mine workers, they'd go to work and it'd become lunchtime, and this one miner would disappear. He would just take his lunch pail, little box, and he'd go off and eat it on his own. No one ever saw him eating his lunch. And they were, some of them were thinking, you know, this guy, here we're basic, he's, you know, just scrimping by, and this guy has taken his lunch, he's probably, who knows what's in there, fruits and vegetables and maybe a nice big sandwich stacked real high. He's over there probably gorging on that himself and won't share it. Finally, one day it said that somebody got his pail and they opened it up and they looked inside. And there it was. It was filled with potato peels. That each day what was happening was potatoes were one of the few things that you could eat during the famine. But he was peeling the potatoes and giving the potatoes to his children for their lunches. And he was eating the peels. What a wonderful thing it is when parents know how to sacrifice for their children, when spouses know to sacrifice for one another, when all of us know how to give of ourselves, even when it hurts, to be a blessing to someone else. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Pray that God would help you discover more deeply the joy of giving in greater measure this year. Now, my next bit of biblical advice is, when in trouble, review God's history of helping. When in trouble, review God's history of helping His people. When you're up against a wall with no way out, remember that God has a long history of helping people who've been up against the wall with no way out. When God's people were at the Red Sea, when the enemy was charging down on them and it looked like they were going to be destroyed, there was no way to go as this army of soldiers and chariots and horses and men with spears and swords were about to massacre them. Nothing behind them but a sea, a wall of water. And we know what happened, right? It just opened up. And God led them safely through their trouble. When a hungry crowd of people of over 5,000 were listening to the teachings of Christ, as we're doing this morning, only there's one important person absent here. They were there all day, many of them. And they were tired, and they were hungry, and they were far out of town. They had nothing to eat, listening to Jesus, and somehow, as they looked to Him, these hungry people found that He would find a way on that day to feed them. He took a few loaves and a few fish and fed every one of them in the crowd. Every single one of them who was hungry, He found a way to feed them. And then that little piece at the end, it says, and by the way, there were 12 baskets left over. Everyone was satisfied, and there were still 12 baskets left over. When you're in trouble, review God's history of helping. You know, there are stories after story in the Bible to tell us about that, about the disciples when they were caught in a sudden storm. Their boat was being swamped, right? It was about to sink at any moment. You ever feel like that? You're in a boat. You're being swamped. It's filling up with water. And, whoa, man, this boat's not going to go too far forward anymore. You're going to sink to the bottom. And we're told in Mark chapter 4, the furious squall that came upon them and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped with water. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. That's how it feels sometimes, right? Lord, we're drowning here. You're taking a nap. What are you doing? Did you even notice anything happening here? We're not just wet. Like, we're saturated. The water's up to our necks. The disciples wake Him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. I tell you, the Lord's done it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, caring for His people. He has a long history of doing that. And so He puts these accounts in the Bible for a reason. Romans 15:4, some of you know it. "For whatever was written in the former days were written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." You got it? When you're in trouble, recall the stories that God has put in the book. Read about them. He has a great history of helping His people when they're in trouble. It's a good way to deal with the problems in the new year. Recall the history of God's helping hand. Fourthly, love the questions. Love the questions. How many of you liked getting a few nice Christmas gifts this year? Right? You got some things. You're probably happy about those things. Probably some gadgets you got in your hand, you know. Maybe you got something out there in the car you're fiddling around with, or you've got something you've probably already eaten. Maybe a big box of chocolates that you've enjoyed, especially if they're homemade. We still have some on our counter from the neighbor. Several neighbors brought them over, and I tell you, you got some great cooks on Homehurst Avenue. Some of you love babies. Most of us love babies. They're adorable, aren't they? Some of you love a nice trip to Sunny Beach about now. I'm trying to work one out this month. It's on my schedule. I got a couple conflicts, though. I'm working at it. A promotion, a raise. You'd like that, wouldn't you? We love those things, but it's not easy sitting back. It's not easy to, should say, sit on top of a question mark. Just slide off, you know. It's a hard thing to sit on a question mark, especially when it's difficult and it doesn't seem to be any answer. We don't want to sit there, do we? We'd rather get this thing resolved and there it is. Now we can get on with our lives, but question marks come. Hard questions. Sometimes they're bouncing around in our heads and thinking about them in the middle of the night when we should be sleeping. Sometimes you should be in a conversation talking to somebody, but you got just question marks like kicking around in your head. You can't get it out. It just haunts you. Sometimes you just have one question that won't go away. Maybe you've had it for years. It's hard to live a joyful Christian life, isn't it? If you just got this question that haunts you and it's disturbing your peace. Well, the truth is, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see in a mirror dimly. We see in a mirror dimly. We tried to play a game the other night with my daughter-in-law's and some kind of a combination of a board card game or something. You couldn't see the cards very well. You just see what the images were. So we had to turn on a bunch of the other lights to actually see to be any good at the game. And that's how it is at life sometimes. We want to play the game of life. We're trying to really do it well, play it well. And yet there's not enough light. And we're like squinting here. And we're walking around and we're in pain. Because why can't we just stop squinting? Well, you know, that's the nature of life. We see as in a mirror dimly. We don't really see what we like to see sometimes. And a lot of times it gets in our way. Then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part. Then we shall know fully, even as we're known. We'll have some clarity on these things that we don't have now. So I say, let's learn to love the questions. Learn to love the questions. We don't have to panic. You understand? You know, when I was in the process of seeking Christ, seeking actually to get my life together, and I was literally in my mind keeping score of whether I should put my confidence in Christ. There was one question that bothered me, and it had to do with third world countries. And you know, I was thinking about, what about people in these third world countries? People who've never heard of Christ. What about them? What will happen to them? You know, God, think God must have a sense of humor. Now, about four decades later, God sends to our church, in one way or another, three mature Christians, all connected, these three mature Christians, all connected to third world countries. One grows up in our church and now is out translating the Bible, actually putting together a language in the Bible so the people in third world countries can read about Christ. Another from Liberia helped us start an orphanage and a Christian school in a third world country. And here, from a place called Kenya, on staff, preaching, teaching Scripture. I don't know if you guys are a third world country, but it's kind of neat that you're here. You know, don't let the questions scare you. Learn to love the questions. Doesn't mean we don't seek answers and try to resolve them, but don't let them get in the way, because the neat thing is you know the question. Guess who else knows the question? He knows the question, God. Guess what else he knows? Yeah, he knows the answer. Now we see in a mirror dimly, 1 Corinthians 13:12. Then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part. Then we shall know even as we are fully known. May God grant you grace enough to get better this year at loving the questions instead of freaking out and losing a lot of sleep. May you grow in your confidence in the God who holds both the questions and the answers. Fifthly, 5 out of 6, we're there, we're getting there. This is a more of a proactive point for you. Choose a precious to God verse for 2016. Choose a precious to God verse for 2016. What do you mean there? Well, I mean, we've been talking about trouble, right? We're talking about questions, unanswered questions. Talking about reviewing history sometimes when we're in trouble. How God has a history of helping people in trouble. But how about being proactive? Take one verse that teaches you that you're precious to God and make that a year verse. You know how we do when we take in new members? We give you a verse, right, for your time here in Grace Church. How about taking a verse for you for this year? Memorize it and meditate on it. How about, I have about 8, and these are available, by the way, at the end of the service. But you can do your own. I just picked up some. At 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. It's longer, but I'm going to give you that part. You're God's special possession. How helpful is that when you're living your day? Hey, He considers me special. How about Romans 9:25? As indeed, he says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people, and her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. You're God's beloved. When I address you from the pulpit, sometimes I should call you, hey, beloved. Usually I say, hey, folks, or fellow believers, or Josiah says, church. We are. We're all those things, right? How about beloved? You're loved by God. A wonderful thought to hold you through the next 366 days, by the way, for the whole year. We've already used up a few. Or how about Matthew 10:29 from the New Living Testament? What is the price of two sparrows? Two sparrows. One copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father's knowing it. So don't be afraid. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. That's pretty cool. Maybe that'll be your verse of memory and meditation for this year, a precious to God verse. Or 1 John 3, I think I'm going to make this one mine. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Then there's this little exhortation about you who are God's dear children. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves. In other words, live a pure life, just as He is pure. God's the way God's children act, just like their Father and the Savior. John 10:10, maybe you want this one. The thief comes only to steal, and kill and destroy. Some days you feel like you're being killed, right? Destroyed, stolen from. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's a great one. You don't even have to memorize that one almost. It's right there on the surface. And there's more. Titus 3, Zephaniah. I'll leave you for this one. Zephaniah 3:17. I think someone got this recently in the membership class. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Can you imagine that? He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. You need some attention someday, you feel forgotten or lonely? That's a great verse. God's rejoicing over you, singing all about you. 1 Peter 5:7 and on and on and on. So that's the fifth one. So be proactive this year and memorize a precious to God verse for 2016. Meditate it. Maybe put it above your sun visor on your refrigerator or somewhere on your desk at work, somewhere where you can access it during the year. I've cut up quite a few of them in the back if you want any of the ones I referenced. And there are more. And finally, end your day with a thank you. Can you say that? End your day with a thank you. Just try it again. End your day with a thank you. Okay, well, you know a few years ago the point I gave you, right? Start. Go ahead and say it. Yeah, you got to start your day with a thank you, right? You're a very smart crowd. Start your day with a thank you. You're welcome. So, tell God when you get out of bed, Lord, thanks for this day. And if you're still alive at the end of the day, something else you can do. Lord, thanks for another day. Thanks for this day. It's interesting, I discovered it when I was reading 1 Chronicles 23. It talks about the Levites who were the assistants to the priests. They helped them in the worship. And guess what one of the responsibilities was to do? To stand there in the morning, and guess what they were doing? To give thanks to God. And guess what they did at night? Stand there in the temple, giving thanks to God. You can read about it, 1 Chronicles 23:30. And they were to stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord Yahweh, and likewise in the evening. Finish the day with gratitude. Somebody gives you a Christmas gift, I hope you said thank you. Somebody takes you out to dinner, I hope you say thank you. Somebody gives you a birthday gift, we say thank you, right? It's rude not to say that. Someone gives you a whole day with a whole lot of things in the day. I think it would be appropriate if we got good at saying thank you. I think it was Denzel Washington. He was giving a speech last May, I believe it was, to some young actors. And guess what he told them? He said, let me give you some advice. He said, I suggest that when you go to bed, you take off your shoes at night and you put them far underneath your bed. Because in order to do that, you got to get down on your knees. And while you're down there, you can thank God. Thank God for His grace and mercy and any understanding that He's given you. Maybe we can do that. I just put my glasses on the floor. I got to get down there, you know? That means I got to get down there at night and get down there in the morning. And I can start the day, end the day the same way. He gives us 86,400 seconds each day. Surely we can take a few of those seconds to thank Him at the end of each day. May God give you a grateful, joyful heart this year, as we look to His grace coming our way again through Jesus Christ our Lord. Happy New Year!